Together, it's 8:06. Today is April 13th, but it's not Friday. You would call a roll, please.
Representative Vasquez.
Here.
Representative Holden.
Here.
Representative Drummond. Representative Hyde Thompson.
Excused.
Representative Talico.
Here.
Representative Steve.
Here.
Chair Kellogg.
Here. Okay, potentially we have a abbreviated meeting today. I hesitate to say that, but I think that's possible. Couple comments. HB 156, that's the bill I've been working on with the accountability measures. I don't anticipate that moving any further than at the best case scenario be financed, so I'm choosing at this point to keep it in committee. We're not going to do anything with it, but I want to put on the record that this is a I believe a viable issue that's going to be before us next year when we come back. I don't think it's going to go away, and I believe it's one that's a worthy cause. I'm going to pass out here quickly a memo that came to the Department of Education at the request of Commissioner Hanley about the assessments. And I call your attention to number four on there, just briefly. It talks about the fact that assessments under ESEA, under the Federal Education Act, must be given to all students, and that EED must ensure that that happens, and that any local district, SEA, that takes the money has to comply and make sure all students are covered. And it, in the very bottom of the page here, it says that the requirement does not permit certain students or a specific percentage of students to be excluded from assessments. And then on the next page, if you look at the first paragraph, in the process of applying for funds under Title I, EED assured that it would administer all these rules, you know, roughly. And similarly, each LEA that receives the money has to comply. And if an SEA does not ensure that all students are assessed, et cetera, et cetera. I point that out because it's very clear what the federal government wants in exchange for their money, but that does not remove the responsibility of the legislature of the state to systemically protect the natural rights and constitutional rights of the parents and the students involved. And I say that confidently because that we are talking that category, because if it were not true, the requirements would not be attached to the strings as they are. It'd be a direct federal law that says that every student that goes to public school has to be tested. You know, there's something in between there, and what's in between there is our Constitution. And so it's something I want to continue to pursue, and we will look at it. I'll tell you where we're at right now is that where I stopped, the reason I stopped is that there's a possibility of writing HB 156 in such a way that it allows the State Department of Education to somehow encourage that these assessments be taken so that they're not on the hook, and then make reference to the fact that our parents have these fundamental rights. And that would probably pass muster. It'd probably give us a zero fiscal note, and I think it could be done. The question I've got is, do we want to do that? And I'm struggling with that answer, and I'm trying to get feedback on it. So because of my hesitance, I'm going to put HB 156 aside for right now. I also want to say, again, it's a viable issue. It's one that's coming back. It's not going away. It's going to be before us here in a few minutes in HB 85, and it's also in SB 89. And I have one in that matches SB 180, or SB, is it 89 or 189? Anyway, the one in the Senate. And then ours is 192. So it'd be SB 89, wouldn't it? And HB 192. And it addresses the same issue. And I would hesitate to say that I doubt if they will pass this year, you know, because I can be proven wrong here. And next, there's going to be one busy week, 24-hour schedule. And this committee is on standby. If the SB 89 starts to have life over there, we'll be calling a meeting right away and dealing with HB 192 so that there is an opportunity for the body as a whole to consider this. I don't know if that'll happen, but likely, just guessing myself from my perspective, it probably won't this year. But I point it out because this is a viable issue. And those are the bills to watch, HB 192, SB 89, HB 156, and HB 85. So they're all in the hopper. I would wish that we could move them, but I just don't think that's going to happen this year. So with that, HB 156 is set aside until further notice. And then on HB 102 that was on today's schedule, the residential psychiatric education funding, we're still working on that, and that is why we definitely need a quorum on Wednesday, because we do want to have an opportunity for committee action on Wednesday. So that's the only thing that is really sure about what's left in committee business, so please accommodate the committee and be here. That leaves us with HB 85 in front of us today, and Madam Vice Chair, I'm going to have the sponsor come up, but there's a another blank CS from what I understand is it's some more minor tweaks, and the sponsor will explain those to us. But if you would move version L as the proposed working document, I would appreciate it. Madam Vice Chair, if you'd move that as our working copy.
Mr. Chairman, I move this morning for consideration working copy for CS House Bill Number 85-29-LS0301, version L, L as in laugh.
Okay. See, no objection. The committee has the responsibility of making sure there's all the differences are explained between the previous version and version L in the question period. Representative Seaton?
Should I object so that we get that explanation, or are you?
No, I think we work together. If you object, it'd be the object of using this as the working document, in which case we would have to have the explanation first, and the discussion would be on the previous version, and then we'd have to adopt. So it's a lot easier procedurally just to adopt this as a working document, and you'll have an opportunity to object, you know, as you satisfy yourself that it's, that you like it or not. So if that's okay, we're just going to press on.
It is, Mr. Chair. However, I do want to say that getting the new CSs presented to us at the time, you know, is difficult.
Just Representative Seaton, I wholeheartedly concur, and I think you'll hear apologies, and frankly, I have not read it myself. So, identify yourself for the record.
Representative Reinbold from Eagle River, and I will apologize in regards to the different versions. The reason the last version we had a minor technicality in the last version was the criminal and delinquency records. We wanted them to be able to access them, and so that was the version. Ledge Legal was working on a previous version, and they didn't go back to the latest version. They went back to two previous versions. So it was a error, in my opinion, on the part that they were using a version, you know, that was older. So that was just the delinquent and criminal records. This version, the reason why. This version is now L, and I like to say L for Laura, but the reason why this version is that we found another technical error in the version that Ledge Legal, they were trying to repeal an annual report. So it was in Section 8, and we did not want that to be repealed. There was never any discussion to have that repealed, and we could not understand why that was in the bill when we went through with a technical comb on every single line, every single word, looked up every single statute to make sure it was exactly the bill we wanted. They were repealing an annual report that we did not ever discuss that we wanted it repealed, and that's the reason why we needed version L.
So it was
on Section 8.
Just to confirm then, the only difference between version L and the previous version is Section 8. Am I correct on that?
Just one second. Let me.
Is that what you're saying?
I believe that that is the absolute main. There's one other technical word on. It was to comply with federal law. Actually, It's not in here. It's F. I need L. It's out on the back. It's not here.
Where?
On the table. Sorry, I don't have the new version in front of me. I only have the sectional. It's right.
While the sponsor's looking, if you look at page 8, line 14, what I just discovered is that what the sponsor, I believe she can confirm this, but what she was talking about is that there is just one of the repealers taken out, and the repealers in the old version, it's 1403078A that is no longer repealed, and that's the report that you indicated, yes.
That's correct. Yeah, we've never had any intention of that report being repealed, that any report to the committee. Then there's one other technical change, and it's on page 7, line 10. So it was to authorize agency as provided in state and federal law, period.
And the previous version was? Does somebody have it yet on the
previous version 7 agency agreement?
The line in the page is what we need. Representative Seaton, this is a clear demonstration of why it's very good to have the CS in plenty of time. You know,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
I would hope that unless there was agreement from the committee that things would be brought forward as amendments so that we could clearly see them and then put them in.
That's a procedural thing that I'll
appreciate that. And Mr. Chairman, one other note is we did have an amendment open on the table to the previous version. So have we now canceled that amendment, or do we have to reoffer it?
Let's take it at ease. Thank you. We've kind of found our way here. We have now adopted version L, but that will not take away your choice to make a new amendment to version L. But that, you know, that puts that aside, so we don't have to go back and deal with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Representative Reinbold, tell us again. Page 7, lines what?
Okay, so we're not dealing with the amendment at this
point? Not this, at this point. We're still trying to, you know, ensure the only things that are changed.
Line 7, page number 10. I'm sorry, page 7, line 10.
Okay, and that was A3. So if we go back to version S, was the previous version, I believe, just for comparison. Sorry to do this kind of work on the run, but that's just...
At least the committee loosened up a little bit today.
Okay, so what is taken out is or by interagency agreement. Is that right, Representative Reinbold? And if you have it in front of you, that's in the old version S, line 25 on page 6. Last part there. So those are the only two.
The only
changes.
Two.
Okay, we're going to take an at ease. confirmed, I think, the differences between L&F. And I'll go back to the sponsor. If you have questions for the sponsor on the changes, that's fine. Otherwise, I'm going to have her, again, just give an overview of what the bill does and everything so we can know what we're doing. Okay? Representative Seaton?
Mr. Chairman, I'm unsure of what restrictions limiting act on page, it's on page 7, line 10, where we are now from, this is subsection 5A, which is limit access to individual and redacted student data to authorized agencies of providing state or federal law, and we're removing the section or by interagency agreement. I'm not sure what the effect of that is on the functioning of the department and of our statewide longitudinal database. And so from the sponsor or from the department, I think I would like to know both of those perspectives is what the sponsor feels that removing that language does, and then from the department, what consequences that has as well.
Representative Rainbow.
Thank you, Chair Keller. Basically, we are concerned about data being transferred between different states, and we thought it was very, very important because our Constitution says the right to the privacy, the right of the people's privacy should be recognized and shall not be infringed. The legislature shall implement this section. So it's the state legislature's responsibility, and if the data is being sent here, there, and everywhere, we don't have control anymore as a state legislature. So it was very, very important that we do comply with federal and state laws, and we thought that that was strong language right there. So put a period after to comply with authorized agencies. So it's authorized agencies as provided in state and federal law.
Okay. We'll Representative Seaton, we'll get the department up later, and you can confirm your question at that time with them, because you asked for both.
Sure. And follow up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Seaton.
And I guess my question is, that means that the Department of Education can't have a interagency agreement with any agency in the state unless we put it in, unless we name every state agency in statute, is what I'm reading this to mean.
Is that the intent, Representative Rainbow?
It says authorized agencies right there in line 3. Or under it's line 10.3, authorized agencies, as provided in state and federal law.
And, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton?
As provided in state and federal law means it has to be in statute, or federal law or in state statute. Every agency that would be able to get or use that data, whether it's a post-secondary education commission or however, we are going to have that, as I believe the new language.
Right now, we're just confirming the intent of the sponsor. We'll get into the debate of that later if anyone else is tempted to respond. We'll just clarify. Is that the intent that want?
Basically, what we need to realize and recognize is our youth data. Our youth data. So this is policies and procedures consistent with relevant state and federal privacy laws. And then it goes boom, 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 boom. And it says authorized agencies provided in the state or federal law. So if they're authorized agency, it's clearly right there.
Okay, so in your mind, it's whether it's an authorized agency by law or not an authorized release of data by law.
The right. Law. Our responsibility as legislatures is to protect the data, and that's what this bill. If we're getting into the weeds, you know, we got to look at the bigger picture. You know, we're trying to protect information like political or religious information. That's personal information. We don't want that information collected and then sent all over the world.
Okay, I think we've got the response from the sponsor, and we've got the question on the record, and we'll get a further response from the department on the question, and then we'll debate that later. It's not intent to get into the weeds right now. So go ahead, Representative Reinbold. Is there other questions on the changes, between version L and version F, so we know what we're dealing with? Seeing none, go ahead and give us an overview, though.
Okay, so I'm going to go back up to high level. How basically what this bill does in general is protects the privacy of our children, and it actually does the students and the parents and also the teachers. So this bill, from a previous version, if you look, it also helps protect our, a lot of data mining is going on our staff and our teachers and things like that in the schools. So this bill does help protect unauthorized use and collection of data on our teachers as well. So this is just a general, completely complying with the Constitution and our responsibility as a legislature. We don't want to let this out. It says, if you read it, the right of the people's privacy is recognized and shall not be infringed. We believe it's being infringed upon, and it's a very serious issue, a constitutional issue that we need to take very seriously, because it says it's the legislature that shall implement this section of the Constitution. So we need to not take this lightly.
Okay. Any further questions on the bill as a whole, HB 85, for the sponsor, Representative Reinbold? Seeing none, and that's understood. Oh, did you have something? Because we have had it before us, but Representative Seaton, I'm not.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm. So the first section is added into the bill, or there's new language here. Is that correct?
No, that not from the previous versions. No, it's still, it was, this was in a. I just wanted to point it out from one of the very, very earlier versions. This is my second year I've been carrying this bill, by the way. One of the earlier versions, we allowed protection for the teachers and parents as well.
Representative Reinbold. Representative Seaton?
Mr. Chairman, I'm reading Section F, the previous version, lines 5, data security report.
What department. Page, Representative Seaton?
Page 1.
Okay.
And the department shall provide by electronic means not later than 10 days. And the new version says on line 5, page 1, the department shall provide to the legislature by February 15th of each year by electronic means an annual report regarding the progress of each school. I'm reading different language, Mr. Chairman, and I don't know the context of it, so I'm suffering some confusion. I'm trying to read both of these versions quickly and understand what changes have been made and what have been.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, so. Yeah. Representative Reinbold.
It was simply the report that on the previous version that we dealt with last week. They repealed that annual report. We don't want that report repealed. It was an error in legal from my perspective. That report was never asked to be repealed, and that's why they put it.
Yeah, Representative Reinbold, we're just trying to understand the changes. So that your answer is, I think, very good. I mean, you're saying there was a language change then also on page 1 that relates to the repealer that was taken out in Section 8. And that's the, yeah.
Correct. When it was that section was repealed, it was put back in just to make absolutely sure that we get that report from the legislature.
Okay. Are there other language changes in
the CS? No, it was just related to those two things. Putting that back in, the report back into the bill itself.
Representative Drummond?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for being late. My car was frozen this morning. The sponsor mentioned protecting religious and political data earlier. I'm not sure what school districts collect political and religious data on students. I'm really interested in how that is relevant.
Okay.
Okay, so basically what we're trying to do here is make sure that it is not happening. This is just a protection of privacy at this time. We're not accusing anybody of doing it at this time. It is simply a protection for the students, for the parents, for the teachers.
Okay. Follow-up, Representative Drummond?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. We'll have the department come up and respond to some questions, and then we'll close public testimony and come before the committee for debate. So we're going to ask the department to come up. Mm-hmm.
Les, when you come up, if you would identify yourself for the record, and I'm assuming you heard the questions, particularly on page 7 there, line 10, but and feel free to add other comments if you have them, but or if you want the question restated, I can ask Representative Seaton to do that.
For the record, Les Morse, Deputy Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Education Early Development. I believe the, if I'm recalling correctly, Chair, the question from Representative Seaton was relative to the change on line 9 and 10 on page 7 of removing interagency agreement and the impact that might have on any data systems. If I have that correct, I don't know that that would impact it. I would like to actually have a little more time to analyze that, though. And the reason I don't, it may not impact it, is we currently operate within the scope of federal and state law, and federal law under FERPA allows the sharing of data if it meets certain conditions. And any sharing that we do with any data right now would meet the conditions of the Family Education Rights Privacy Act, which is pretty detailed in what we'd have to meet. This seems to simply remove interagency agreement, but within federal law, there is a process for how you share data through interagency agreements. The only question I also would need to do some analysis on is whether Section A is at all limited by Section B. And I'd like to just have time to work with our attorney to make sure there's no restrictions in how they interact together that cause any concerns about sharing data.
Any questions for the department? Representative Vasquez?
To my knowledge, those provisions on you and the CCS have been there for quite a while.
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, that is true, but this is the first time the department has spoke on the piece of legislation. We haven't been at the table prior to this.
Well,
Vasquez, follow up.
Like anybody in the public, you are, of course, you are not restricted from submitting an opinion or decision or whatever you want to do. You've been sitting, I notice, at almost all of our meetings. I'm just puzzled why at the last minute you're saying that you want additional time, since that provision is not new in the CS. And for the record, I believe it was in the original bill that was submitted to this committee. I'm looking. I'm just curious and want to know why the department has waited until the last minute to say that they need additional time.
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, the only answer I have to give you is this is the first time I've spoken to the bill and was invited to the table to speak.
Les, have you spoken to the sponsor, or you have not talked to me about your any concerns in this area? Have you talked to anybody?
Keller, on Friday, we did have a meeting with the sponsor's staff over the legislation. It was a relatively short meeting. We went over some of the issues around the fiscal note, but we did not do a full review of the whole bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. That's it. Well, that's it.
Mr.
Do you have another question for the department, Representative Seaton?
No, I think it's under discussion.
Okay. So, seeing no buddy online or nobody else in the room that wants to testify, I'm going to close public testimony. That puts the bill in front of the committee for discussion and question and debate. Representative Reinbold, we will open back to the public because the sponsor wants to make another statement, and we'll be happy to do that. Representative Reinbold.
I just wanted to recognize the letters of recommendation from several people that were submitted.
Okay.
I think everybody has.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
committee, the bills before the committee? All the tensions of the last week.
Thanks.
Okay, at ease. Did you...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This CS that came in front of us this morning without much review, I'm not comfortable passing this out of committee. I don't think it's ready, Mr. Chair.
President Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm unsure of many things, such as what we were just talking about on page 7, line this topic where what's authorized to be released and redacted student data is A. It's either individual and redacted student data. So I don't know how far we restrict the ability to even talk about students or student progress when you have even redacted student data can't be released. I have, on the previous version, I was offering an amendment to take out some of the issues that your letter from the department brought up, but I think I even need more time to even figure out, and I think that that's probably the main reason for the sponsor's initiative on this bill. As I think about it, that is the opting out provision. And if that's the case, I don't want to be changing the bill so much from the sponsor that it becomes a bill that doesn't fulfill the what she wants to have come forward. So I'm not in support of the bill. And I spoke to that and passed out a, what was that? Well, it was from Indiana or someplace that we had the previous handout about opting, or Kentucky, I think it was, about opting out and them not allowing students to opt out because it would destroy the system of evaluations and teacher evaluations. And now we have the letter that you submitted based on opting out and where that goes. But I think that that is a primary focus of the sponsor's initiative. So I'm not ready to move this bill at this time.
Thank you for your comments. Any other comments or debate?
Okay, we're going to take an ideas. For debate or proposed action, if there's someone in the committee that wants to make a motion or have further comment, it's open to either one. Representative Tellery.
I have a comment. This certainly isn't a new I'm a new guy, but this isn't a new topic. I don't think it's right. Certainly been something that's been discussed and it's been newsworthy and everything else. And I don't have any issue with it the way it sits right now. The changes to me weren't incredibly significant, and I do appreciate the department talking about the FERPA rules and the laws that they abide by and everything. So I'm good with it the way it is.
Okay. Representative Vasquez?
I'm good with it too, for the same reasons. Very minor changes, and certainly the Department of Education, the representative, has been sitting throughout all of our education committee meetings. It's puzzling why they now are coming forth and thinking that they need more time. If they need more time, they can submit the comments, I guess, to the next committee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Do you have a motion for us, Madam Vice Chair?
Yes. I move for...
I move
CS for House Bill 85, the version before us is 29-LS0301L, L as in Laura Olaf, with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
I'll object.
And we have an objection from Representative Seaton. Would you like to speak to your objection? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I think that part of the discussion is where we go is to where we're going to have accountability in our education system and where we are limiting the use of longitudinal databases, which were incorporated in the past legislature specifically so we could find out if we were being successful with our endeavors as we try to have K-12 and, in fact, K-20 operate more effectively, and as we limit the use of those data, as we have multiple opt-out to make the accountability systems not work, I think that we are undermining and going right back to where we've been for the last 8 or 10 years, saying we need to make the education system accountable. And this is the direction to say we are going to go back to the previous unaccountable system where we couldn't say why students were successful or unsuccessful. And so that's why I'm opposing this bill.
Seeing no other comments, I would I'm going to ask for the vote, please.
For CS HB 85 version L, Representative Colbert.
Yes.
Representative Dummond.
Pardon me?
Representative Dummond.
No.
Representative Price Conference, absent. Representative Talarico.
Yes.
Representative C.
No.
Representative Vasquez.
Yes.
Chair Kelly.
Yes.
I have 4 yeas, 2 nays.
Okay, so verdict now moves from committee. Just a closing statement on your objection statement. I agree. That's exactly what we're doing. We're reviewing where we've been, and there's, you've got the accountability on one side, and you've got the constitutional concerns on the other. And that's the reason I'm taking the privilege of saying that right now is that I see that as a primary issue again that we're going to have to face as a committee in the coming session. So. Representative Vasquez, go ahead.
I have a very practical comment. While there's been more and more data mining through the years, there is less and less good performance. So, you know, there isn't necessarily a correlation between better data mining and better student performance. In fact, I see the reverse. More data mining, less student performance. So this, my mind, there's no correlation. There's other things that can be done to improve the educational system, but it's not data mining.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
I just have to object to that broad statement. The graduation rates have improved, and everything else that we've asked for going forward and worked on in education is improving. People that don't, I mean, we all don't think it's improving fast enough, but when students progress through schools, we know that we need to focus on third grade reading. We know that why? Because we have longitudinal data that shows us that they, you know, that's a critical time. We have worked very hard at increasing graduation rates, and we have increased graduation rates. So to go back to the previous system where we had none of those things accomplished, going back to lower graduation rates, going back to less successful reading, by the data and the actual facts, does not seem to me to be the progress. So I would very like to entertain some new directions or new processes, but just going to back to where we were does not seem to be there, and I'm not seeing anything coming forward that's saying we're going to replace the reforms that we've made that have increased education performance to going back to where we were at lower education performance. Happy to see new proposals come forward that institute some change based on some research that would say that we are have some chance of success. So thank you for the ability to.
I'd like to counterpoint you to counterpoint, but I won't because. So no, just assume not. I mean, this closing comments on this issue will be in the minutes, and you got the last word, and we're going to leave it that way, and that's fine. You know, we got the whole thing. Representative Colbert wants the last word.
Well, I especially.
But we want to wrap it up if we can, really, pretty quick, because
the sun's come out.
Representative Talrico has another statement here in a few minutes.
I think we've got a number of vehicles here. We're looking at some of these same systemic issues. But, you know, the data portion of this bill is what I really, I think is very important. Privacy, you know. You know, when we have certain things presented in one way, then we get a certain response. And when we have it presented a different way, we get a different response. I'll go back to when we tried to, we looked at the bill that I sponsored to repeal the federal free financial aid form as a requirement to be considered for the merit scholarship, the governor's, or what do we call it now, the performance scholarship. Mm-hmm. And the fiscal note came back at $400,000 because we needed to know the student's address. And I've heard from principals that when they submit the names of those kids that are eligible, they give the address to the department. So we don't always get real straightforward information. And so it takes a lot of digging to get to the bottom of some of these issues, and I think that's what we're doing. We have a number of these same type of bills, and we're getting to where we're looking at what do we have to do, what do we need to do, and we're having a clash of those issues with federal mandates and our Constitution and the rights of parents and. Does it affect student learning? All this comes back to, is it making a difference in the classroom to help students learn? And I think it's gotten so complicated that, you know, you can be argued on each side of every issue, and we tend to do that. But anyway, so with that, I will yield the floor. I know, Mr. Chairman, you want to get out of here, but once I started down my soapbox, I couldn't stop. Thank you.
Last word, just commend the committee. I mean, it was a good open discussion. Nobody's hiding. You're talking about the issues honestly, and I appreciate that. So with that, we're adjourned at 8:52.